This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Nice. Good afternoon and welcome down to Tee Florida. Typically, it's two pros and a hack in the entertainment gallery, but today we're blessed to have two members of the entertainment gallery. One is Kerry McNally, the Emmy Award-winning videographer, multi-talented comedian. I don't have enough time. You've got Tom Gribben, St. Petersburg's most interesting man. And Kerry McNally might be the most diverse that we have. And then in the house, my bodyguard is always, as I like to claim him, and that is Jeff Ward, and kind enough to come down because we don't have John Rieger today. We don't have Tom Gribben. We don't have Patty Suzette. And we don't have, we got an injured reserve list that's deep. And we don't have our man, Bill Buckner, who just had his hip replaced.
Well, it's about time. Check 1-2, test 1-2.
Hello.
Number 3. This one's number 3. It says number 3.
Well, you should be good to go, brother.
How about me? Come on.
Everybody's good now.
I'm not nearly as diverse as Kerry or Terry over there.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, how are you? Yeah, so I'm so excited that Bill Buckner decided to do what I did last November, almost to the day. My surgery last year was November 30th, so we're just past that. And it is life-changing, Mike. I know you need several things replaced on you, but...
Starting with the head.
Exactly.
The brain.
But, no, in all seriousness, if you're out there and you're putting it off, and perhaps you have any number of reasons why you don't want to get your hip replaced, I say go ahead and do it. The technology is amazing, but the recovery is very, very short. I think within 2 weeks to a month, you're walking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you had
yours? I haven't had any. My mom has had both knees replaced. In her latest knee replacement, she was walking 4 hours after surgery.
Yeah. I mean, they actually make you stand
up. I wouldn't want to mess with your mama then. I can tell you right now.
Pain-free. Pain-free 4 hours after surgery, walking.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the stitches, though, they
were you sharing some of your whiskey with her?
It's like the technology is fantastic, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, my dad years and years ago had a hip replacement, and he was a very active guy, semi-professional golfer and hunter and fisherman and everything. And he needed his hip replacement. He put it off for years and years and years, and finally he went to the guy at Syracuse University Medical Center that did Bo Jackson's hip before he played Major League Baseball.
Wow.
So
Bo's was a horrific hip injury.
It did my dad the same thing. The first one was really long because they had to cement it in place. Mm. And he was like in traction for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then years later, he came back and had the second one done. And he was up walking with a walker the same day that he did the hip replacement. The technology.
If you're listening, Bill Buckner, suck it up. Get off that couch. Walk around.
We expect you in here next week, Bill.
Wow.
He will be here next week. Next week is our Christmas party, and we'll have the entire gang here. We'll have a lot of fun. You can bring the lovely Lisa down.
Bring her down, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be upstairs, and we'll have some fun, and maybe I will be attired in my Mr. Christmas attire.
I'm excited to see this. Now, is this clothing optional for you, or are you just going to have wear your jingle bells at this point?
Clothing option? Optional?
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't want to scare anyone.
I just came out of the men's room here, high atop Ferg Sports Bar and Grill between Central Avenue and First Avenue's
Tropicana Field.
South, right across from Tropicana Field. And there's some photos of some flashers from, I guess, back in the 70s. I had never seen those photos before coming out of the men's room. And I was like, whoa!
Full
frontal!
I was so appreciative of you coming down today that we are way off the world of golf. But I'm going to share that story for you. First, that's not the 70s.
Okay.
That is last year.
Oh, my God.
And there is this group of, semi-exhibitionists, if you will.
What, semi?
But the artist behind it, I've met him, and he's a character. Well, I happen to be in my office, and I had heard rumors of these people before. They have it orchestrated. They drop trowel. They've got, as I said, they got the logistics down. They talk about, prior, they plan where we're going to take the shot, how long you have, boom, boom, where things are easy on and off. So I'm up in the office, and I'm looking down. It's a weekday, and it's quiet. And I look down, and I think, oh, company will get together. They're having a meeting down there. And so I walk through a couple times, use the restroom, and they're staring at me, you know, like, who are you? And I say, oh, my office upstairs. Okay. So I go back up, and then I come down another time, and I know they had their own food. They didn't order in here. And they leave their cell phones or purses. I thought, boy, I wonder where they went. Maybe outside for a little exercise, having some team building. I have no idea.
Both of those things.
Well, they go out and they take that shot right by the globe. And Kerry is accurate. It's right in front of our globe on the corner of 13th and Central. And what is there, a dozen of them?
Oh, at least.
One guy, well, no, about four guys, and the rest are ladies.
Yeah.
But thank then goodness. I come back up and get my work done. The day's over. They're gone. Everybody said, what did you see? Did you see the strippers? A couple of guys at the bar, and, you know, and they're laughing. And I said, strippers? I said, well, you know, they took their clothes off outside. I said, where were they? Well, they were upstairs with you. Well, they were giving me the stink eye when I was walking through them. But I had no idea what they were doing. And they do it that quickly. Okay. Now, Mark Ferguson, the proprietor, and his wife, Sherry, can't stand those. But he still keeps them there. They're not from the 70s, my man. They're from just a few, about 14 months ago.
Mark is okay with them, but
he thinks it's cool.
Yeah, they are. Well, I guess it's to some extent a sport of some kind, but I wouldn't.
Sport?
I wouldn't give them the moniker of a stripper. A stripper.
No, they were just getting around. These were.
They're flashers.
These were our regulars, yeah.
Or you could.
Professional flashers.
You could
Can
probably
you give me the number of whoever organizes it? Because I'm in next year.
Yeah, okay. I would rather.
Well, you—that's
you'd look a lot better than the guys exactly. That are in there, brother. That's what you do for a living.
Yeah, you're in the
all right,
gym.
All right, so I'm Mike Rickard, and that is Kerry McNally. Jeff Ward with me. John Rager will not be in this evening. He's got a family matter he's attending to. As I said, Bill Butner, he's on the IR. He may call in a little bit later on if he's feeling up to it. And then Patty Suzette and Tom Gribben, they are traveling. But we'll all be back next week, and we'll have a superb holiday show. If you're in the area, come on down to 13th and Central and join us. We're going to be upstairs here at Ferg's, and we're going to have some fun with the simulators. We'll have some giveaways. A bar will be open. Just looking forward to it. But the show will go on, and we've got a jam show, actually. Adam Woodward from Golf Week, he will be on about 5:35. There's a ton going on in the world of golf. You've got John Rahm, looks like he's going to defect to the LIV, and that nauseates me. He's a hypocrite because he said he never would, but we'll get Adam's actually on a call right now with his press conference. He just texted me, so we will get him immediately afterwards. So we'll talk about that. There's a couple of cool events taking place just south of here. Of course, that's the Grant Thornton Invitational in Naples. That starts tomorrow. That's LPGA and PGA. They merged for some team play. It's the first time they've done this. Used to be the old JCPenney format, and Bill Butner played in that, so hopefully we can talk to him. And then in Bradenton is the World Champions Cup, and that's pretty cool. It's guys from the Champions League and some great guys. I'll go over it a little bit later on, some of the people playing. So, you know, within an hour, you got some great LPGA, PGA event and Champions event. And that's the World Champions Cup, and that's in Bradenton. That's got an international team. That's got European and the U.S. team, and they're all greats in the game. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. McNally.
Yes, sir.
And maybe you had seen this or heard this as well, Jeff. I was looking at the leaderboards today. I spent a lot of time trying to come up with content when I got blindsided with my heavy hitters tonight in the house. In South Africa, Robin Tiger Williams is the leader. He's a 22-year-old golfer from South Africa. So the staff from Golf World, they were talking about the greatest bit ever was Robin Williams talking about the game of golf. Did you ever see him do that?
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic.
It would be superb if you knew that, but that would be a long bit.
If you would like me to do it, I could do it next week at the Christmas show. I could have it memorized.
Did you ever see that, Jeff? Go. It is funnier than hell.
It is. But he does it in a legitimate, obviously, because when you look at Mrs. Doubtfire, that was a Scottish accent. Oh, dear. Oh, my dear. You know, it was like a Scottish accent.
And he's superb at it.
So he does this Scottish accent, and he basically recounts how golf was invented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
what a ludicrous.
And it is hilarious. I don't think it's that long, though. I'll take a swing at it.
Well, I think you could do it.
I'll do it.
But how ludicrous the game is.
I'll do it next week. And that'll be my contribution. I'll come in, I'll do that bit, and I'll get out of it, because you're going to have a big cast.
You don't need to be the party. You'll be a part of the party. It's going to be a party environment. We won't be talking much golf next week, that's for sure. And then, of course, we've got this rollback situation that they've been announcing with the golf balls. And we'll talk about that a little bit or at length. I'm going to ask Adam, what are, you know, the opinions of the pros out there? And you saw a lot of that today. But you and I discussed it previous. This is going to go all the way down to the hacks. I mean, from the PGA, LPGA, worldwide, they're collectively all decided that we are going to roll the capability of the ball. And they've been talking about it for a while, or the equipment. The ball probably made the most sense. Because this technology, you know, you're driving at 400 yards, and the golf courses are the older classic golf courses. It's impossible for them to play like they were designed back in the day.
You might be surprised at my opinion on that, by the way.
What is your opinion on that, by the way?
I think it's great.
You think it's great?
I think every other major sport in the world has a standardized ball, standardized equipment.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I think it's fabulous.
The NBA basketball is the same in every game. The football is the same in every.
The football
game.
Is exactly the same unless
of course you let some air out of it, but the
deflate gate.
But you can't let any air out of the golf ball. And the reality of it is, I mean, they're talking about 9 to 11 yards for the longest hitters on the PGA Tour. So Rory McIlroy is going to hit it 330 instead of 340. Who the hell cares? And your average hack, and even me, I'm a single digit handicap 7 or 8 guy, and I play 2 or 3 days a week. You're not going to see not even half a club distance on how far you hit the golf ball. You know, it may take my pitching wedge from 137 back to 135. Who cares? You know, and I think the argument from the golf courses, you know, coming back and saying, you know, we keep on having to stretch these golf courses longer and longer. The bigger you make the golf course, the less money you get to put in per square acre. So if we can keep the golf courses at 7,000 yards and 7,100 yards instead of stretching everything to 7,500 yards, the quality of the golf course goes up. The level of maintenance on the shorter golf courses is going to be there. So, and your average hack isn't going to see any difference at all in how far they hit the golf ball. They don't hit the golf ball in the center of the face anyways. So,
well, a couple of guys that I saw in the conversations, and one of them is a gentleman that you hosted up in Minneapolis. They interviewed Lucas Glover.
Yeah.
And he tried one of the balls that they're discussing. And he said, I think it's a great idea. He said, and they should have done it years ago. He said, but it was significant for him. Now he's mid-40s now, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
Yeah, mid-40s. And he said, you know, typically I'm punching it out there 285, 290. You know, he's not one of the young guns and the bombers. He said, but I was only putting it out there about 240, 245 with this ball.
Yep.
Now, he said, now the young guys are going to be considerably longer. He said, I saw a significant difference. I think it's good for the game, he said.
Yeah, and you know, it's not going to limit it. Innovation in the sport. There's so much innovation in the spin technology and the layers involved in the golf ball and how it reacts off a wedge versus how it reacts off the driver and all that. And I think you're going to just see that much innovation still, and the quality of the ball is going to get better and better and better. Just they're going to limit the core.
I think you made the comment on one of my texts in the group text when I said I just sent the news break on it, and I think it was either you or Tom said, well, you know, you won't be able to get off the tee box with your drive mic now.
Well, no.
Something comparable.
Right, sure. But that's, we love you, so we tease you. That's, you know, I grew up in New York. Yeah, I think it's long overdue. I completely agree with you. One of the real challenges for a lot of golf courses is trying to stay competitive with a lot of the amateur tournaments for the kids coming up.
Yeah.
A good example of that is the St. Pete Country Club, where they're going to be hosting another New Year's Invitational, right?
Every year it's a classic.
Right. And that golf course doesn't stretch out that far because it just doesn't have the footprint.
Right.
And
it's landlocked.
That's the greatest challenge. And that's an old golf course. It was built and designed in the 20s.
I love that track.
Yeah, it's a great track.
They're rebuilding the whole track next year, aren't they?
Right. I think so. That's
No, they definitely are. And Gary, it's going to be a Gary Cook design.
Is when you limit the distance on the golf ball, now you can work on golf course design much better with putting better bunker layouts and stuff like that. And you can rein the big
old school difficulty.
Right.
Yeah.
You can just
tighter
just
courses.
That damn fairway down to 25 yards wide, you know, at 320 yards and make the guys hit three woods if they're, you know, that they want to keep the ball in play. You just constrain the golf course.
At the end of the day, anybody that's really serious about golf is working on their putting. Because you're not getting the fairway, you get it on the green. That's what the PGA Tour is to a great extent.
Yeah.
It's a putting contest. But what's happened is you just don't see, the guys that hit a 250. What was the guy's name who was the coach? He was a coach of golf, and he won the PGA Championship and threw his hat down. Funk? Yeah, Funk.
Freddie Funk.
Freddie Funk, right. Freddie Funk couldn't hit the ball any farther than 244 yards or whatever it was.
I love Freddie Funk. He was a coach at Maryland,
And the same with Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson won the Masters and never hit a green on a par 5 and 2 and didn't even try.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's shot makers, though, too.
Well, his name just won the Open Championship. He didn't hit the ball any further than 70.
Yeah, and when people ask me, you know, hey, for advice.
Brian Harman.
And I say, you know, my brother-in-law, whom I adore and I love, you know, he doesn't hit it far off the tee.
Yeah.
Right. And then on a par five, he grabs on a par five, he'll grab another big, long wood, even if he's in the rough. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he goes, I got 250 left. I said, hit two pitching wedges.
Right. Yeah.
He goes, what are you talking about? I said, hit one 125 and hit the other 125 and putt for birdie.
That's what I do. I call it old man golf, and it drives my sons nuts. We have an annual deal, 4th of July, on this little track up in nine-holer up in Iowa.
Yeah.
Now, it hasn't happened the last 10 years, but the one played college football. You know, he's buff like you, and he's crushing all over the place. I've beaten him every 4th of July. I did for 10 consecutive years. Plunk, plunk.
Yeah.
That's the lucky thing that I got is I got to grow up with a professional golfer as a father. And even though I don't hit it 290 yards, 300 yards anymore, I hit it 260, 270.
Maybe. Boo-hoo.
But you know, when my dad always said, he said, play the damn golf hole backward. You know, where do you want to be when you're coming into the green? And, you know, nobody wants to hit an iron from 82 yards. You know, unless that's your full lob wedge. You know, if you hit the ball as far as I do, my lob wedge goes 95, 100.
That's me giving my 8 iron all I got.
Right. I'd rather lay up to 105 than have 85 yards into the flag.
Is that a gap for you, or is that like a, what is it?
100? Full lob wedge, 95 yards.
Yeah, yeah. I like that number too, 100, and that's my gap wedge.
No, I can hit a perfect three-quarter lob wedge from 70, 75. I like that distance.
Yeah.
I can hit that 13 wood like you've never seen.
I want to see it.
You know, like the second hole of Bayou where I play all the time, the hole's only 320 yards long.
Yeah.
And everybody else is grabbing their driver off the damn tee, and I'm hitting a 3-iron, and they're like, why are you hitting a 3-iron? Because I can lay up to the 100-yard marker and hit either a lob wedge or a sand wedge. A full lob wedge or a full sand wedge is a lot more accurate than me in the three-quarters of a shot. And the fairway's 60 yards wide, 225 yards out. So, yeah. You know, it's just smarter golf. And I think, as I say, rolling back the golf ball is going to make more smart golf.
Yeah, and it's going to make us hacks get more creative because, as I said to him prior to going on, I can see an entire design of Pro V1 H roll, hack roll.
And we'll be able
to get our own. You're listening to On the Tee Florida. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's our 19th hole clubhouse studio up here on our lower simulator, the Mick Ultra, if I could speak properly. And it's BOGO. Come in for $40. You can rent one of the simulators. And for the rest of December, you'll get the second hour for free. And now that Saturdays are not taken up by the college football world for the most part, the simulators will be ready to rent out on Saturdays. So we'll have a Saturdays challenge as well. And looking forward to that. And then, of course, our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and, of course, Sea Dogs. And we have our Monday night show down there, Big Monday. Shout out to Fred Forsley and of course, Charlie Breakiron and Kerry McNally. You were down there when they delivered it. I was there yesterday. What an incredible Christmas tree they have down there, Sea Dogs.
It's a 15-footer, Mike!
Yeah, well, he said it's got to be 16, 17 feet because Charlie said that is a lot taller than last year's, and he almost did a header up there. He does not need to be up there at 50 years of age.
I have to
gorgeous.
Say, and I'm not proud of this, guys. I have tree envy. I mean, I went over there. I was like, oh, man. We had to cut ours, actually.
It makes Clark Griswold's look like a twig.
Exactly.
Like a twig.
Yeah, and don't let the cat drink out of the bowl, right?
Exactly.
Then it's going to dry out and burst into flames.
Exactly.
Don't let the cat get halfway up and tip it over.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of those on Facebook? Have you ever seen any of those videos of the different happenstances that have taken place?
Oh, God, they're so
with cool. cats?
Yeah.
What the hell? Who leaves a cat home by itself and you've got a Christmas tree?
You've got to.
Yeah.
I always wonder if you have a male dog, how does that work, too? Fortunately, Olive is a girl, so I don't have to worry about Olive. She's sort of not interested in the tree.
Ours are old enough and well-trained to not use the tree.
I feel like maybe she sniffed it once and got poked in the eye by one of the needles or something. She wants nothing to do with it.
So you get a real tree?
We got a real tree. The last couple of years, we had a fake one. And then my wife was just, she got all, you know, like, sappy, pun intended. And she said, you know, I really
she hated the fake tree.
Yeah, she was like, honey, can we get her? I said, why are you asking me?
Yeah.
You probably already ordered it. She goes, I did. Yeah. It's coming tomorrow. And then she said, I got a 9-footer. I'm like, where is it? Is it going in the backyard?
We got 8-foot ceilings.
She goes, oh, you think that's too high? I said, yeah, it's like an 8-foot ceiling. I bet it's an 8-foot ceiling. So I went to my little toolkit. I got the measuring thing. And I was like, yeah, I think we need like a seven.
Carrie, you didn't just reach up and put your finger to
this the ground. This is my favorite time of the year. And that's one of the things about some of these events in the world of golf. Like I said, the World Champions Cup in Bradenton. And then, of course, the Grant Thornton Invitational. Here's the Grant Thornton Invitational. Starts tomorrow. Here's kind of some of the teams. And I like the feel of it. You've got our own who's she playing? Nelly Korda. She's playing with Tony Finau.
You've got love Tony.
Lilia Vu, who actually won the Annika. She's playing with Joel Damon. I'll give you some household names. Lexi Thompson's playing with Ricky Fowler.
And that's a really cool pairing.
That's a great pairing right there.
That's a money pairing.
Rose Zhang is playing with Sahith Theegala. He's had some recent success. Justin Rose, who I love, from England, he's playing with Charlie Hull, and she is also English, and that, too, will be a lot of fun. They'll be mic'd up. Of course, Florida Gator, Billy Horschel, he's playing with Andrea Lee. There's 16 players, the men and the women, and this is the first year of it, and it's got wheels. That's for sure. And then here's some names that you'll recognize. And this is, of course, that's in Bradenton, the World Champions Cup. Retief Goosen, Jim Furyk, John Daly, Tom Lehman, Bernard Langer, Padraig Harrington, just to name a few. Oh, Vijay Singh. So you're gonna have a cast of Hall of Famers playing down there. And then the one that I enjoy the most, and I'm sure that you've watched it in the past, it's the PNC Championship, and that's in Orlando a week from this Saturday and Sunday. I'm going over to that. Oh. That's the pairings between family. It used to be just the dads and the sons. Well, then they obviously made it gender friendly, and now Retief Goosen's playing in that. Jim Furyk and his son, David Duval, and his son, John Daly, and John Daly the second, Nikki Price, Annika Sormsten, she's playing with her son, Will McGee. John Rager and I saw Will up there. Marco Mira, he's a major winner. He's playing with Sean, Justin Thomas, Lee Trevino, who just had a birthday, 85 years young. He's playing with his grandson, Daniel Trevino. Lee Trevino has never missed a PNC. In 20-some years.
That's such amazing. A great guy. I've met him twice now.
Was he cool?
Just amazing. Yeah, just the nicest guy you ever met. And you just walk along down the fairway with him.
And he chats you up. I had the same exact experience in Minneapolis, actually, at the 3M.
Yeah, that's the 3M Championship.
We went to the Father-Son Championship years and years ago in Orlando and Orange County National, I think, or Champions Gate. I forget which one it was that year, but... And he's just walking down the fairway and just chatting up everybody.
That's why I love the Champions Tour, because they still do it. Those guys, you know, Fuzzy Zeller, he was just, I got to know Fuzz very well up in Des Moines doing the Principal Charity Classic. He didn't matter if he's in the hunt. He's two back. He's still chatting up, you know, hey, how you doing, honey? Got a butt in his mouth, and he's walking just like the good old days. A name you guys might recognize is also playing over there. Tiger Woods and his son Charlie in there.
Oh, cool.
Last year, it was Tiger and Charlie took John Daly and John Daly Jr. They took Tiger Woods and Charlie Woods down to the wire, and they won that. And let's see, Steve Stricker and his son, Justin Leonard. And Nellie Cord is playing with her father, and her father was a professional tennis player. And he's got two daughters. Nellie, of course, ranked number 5 in the world. And the sister, Jessica, who's with child, and we saw her up at the Annika as well. Great family. And then one of my favorites from New Zealand, Nicky Faldo. He was kind to my son at an event and worked on his game a little with him. So all great guys. Those are the fun events during the holidays that people can go out and, you know, and see him.
So
relax.
Where is the father?
In Orlando.
Oh, okay.
The PNC Championship.
PNC.
And John Rager got me. It's one of those things on my bucket list because I just love the interaction between the family. It's relaxed and they're all having fun.
Is it next weekend?
It's next weekend.
Okay. So we'll have the show on Thursday, and then you're gonna take off.
I'm actually gonna go over on Sunday, the last day.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
And so that should be a lot of fun.
Last time I went to that was Trevino and
pretty
his
cool.
son, and VJ Singh and his son, and the same VJ was just yucking it up with again. It's not a tour event. It's a fun event. So he was yucking up with everybody, and that was one of the greatest stories I saw. They were playing that, and they're playing one of the invitational stuff where you get to the amateurs playing with the
pro-am.
So the pro-am and the guy that was playing with VJ was a left-hander, and they were playing, you know, one of these par fours, and it was like a 320 yard reachable par four, you know, but the advantage was definitely the right-handed golfer that could hit a draw, you know, into it and land it in there. And you know, the guy was standing there on the tee box, and he was, you know, saying to VJ's, is like, you know, oh, VJ, man, you got a distinct advantage here because you can hit a draw in. And VJ's like, what, you can't hit the green left-handed? And the guy's like, no, I can't reach it. I'd have to hit a fade, and I can't hit it that far. And VJ's like, let me see your driver. And the guy handed him his left-handed
driver. His left-handed driver, VJ did?
VJ knocked it on the green with a 320-yard fade with a left-handed driver.
Now, that's talented.
Whoa.
That's like somebody going to the plate.
That's amazing.
He's been known for years to practice left-handed for like a half an hour, you know, hit a lot of shots left-handed just to keep his fitness thing. When you're talking about the fitness of swinging it from the whole time.
He works out a lot, VJ Singh. I saw one of those.
He does actually have a couple left-handed clubs and hits left-handed clubs at the end of his practice session just to keep his balance.
You know, I find that fascinating because I played a lot of baseball growing up. I played baseball in Japan when I was in the Marines, and my younger brother went on to a professional career for a couple of years and then a coach. And I hit lefty.
At Duke University.
At Duke, yeah, and I hit lefty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I threw righty. But when I was a child and my eldest brother first introduced me to the game of golf, there were no lefty clubs or it was almost impossible to find any.
Yeah.
And so he basically taught me the rudiments of, you know, the golf swing from a right-handed standpoint. And same thing when I was a fledgling broadcaster in my early 20s.
Right-handed Mike?
Right-handed Mike. Just gotten out of the Marines. I went to, like, I think one of the very first Targets way back then. And you know how you can buy a whole set in a box?
A Ram.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the Ram.
Whatever it was, yeah. And I bought a whole
Ram
set.
That clubs.
That was my first set of clubs, and they were right-handed, and I haven't looked back. And I wonder sometimes if I couldn't hit it farther if I was hitting it lefty. But
Phil Mickelson's right-handed.
I put way too much time and effort into it.
Lefty is right-handed?
He's right-handed.
He's ambidextrous.
But he was a baseball player coming up, and his dad taught him to hit from the left side because he was closer to first base and a right-handed. When you're stronger on
so
the right side.
So he threw left-handed, but he hit righty?
Threw righty.
Well, you'd want him to throw left-handed if he was going to play baseball.
And swung a baseball bat left-handed. Because
you
can hit harder when you're pulling the bat through, or in the case of the golf club, pulling the golf club through with your right side. It's the stronger, more dominant side of your body. So,
I definitely believe.
And that's why we have Jeff Ward here to break it down for us.
I definitely believe if you're a right-handed thrower and you're going to hit lefty in baseball, you're going to hit the ball farther because you're pulling it.
Yeah.
And my analogy
there's
is
a lot of guys
it's a frisbee.
Yeah.
How far can you throw a frisbee?
Right. There's a lot of guys in Major League Baseball that throw right-handed and swing. Well,
they're
switch hitters, but when they want to hit for power, they hit from the left side.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've got a new client, and that, of course, is Liquid Drip. You had a little sample of that, you and Patty, and that's the
What's that?
It's a liquid, THC infused. It comes in orange, black cherry. I think you guys had the black cherry. And we had Sean Knight from Island Products up here, and I actually have been putting it in a lot of bars down on the beach. People love it. I've got it down at the Hippie Shack. We've got it here at Ferg's, and you know, you have a couple, and relaxing, and no hangover in the morning.
It's THC or CBD?
No, THC.
So you don't have to have a medical card to drink it?
You don't have to have a medical card.
Because it's so little?
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Dosage thing.
Fascinating.
But it's got enough in it, and it's the liquid process. He explained it to me, and I actually have all the information right here. I'm not smart enough to interpret it. But
nor am I.
I tell people, read it for yourself. When they ask me, what's up? Here you go.
And it's called, what is it called? Drip?
It's called drip, and it is a liquid, and the process they were able to get is 10 milligrams, I believe, of THC.
Yep.
And you and Patty, they both imbibed, and
it hits you in a few minutes. It's not like a
there's
gummy.
No delay process like a gummy.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just those two. I don't have anybody else to talk to.
Yeah.
Except for Rager, and I'm having a one-on-one with them. And then I'm trying to bring them in the conversation. They're both over there smiling at me. Like, this is radio. And I know you don't want to talk to me, but that's how we interact. So it does hit you right away, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like alcohol, but it's a THC buzz as opposed to an alcohol bug.
Well, that's got to be much better for you, though.
Well, and we will be giving out samples, by the way, at the Christmas party. So come on down.
We might have to Uber over for that.
I keep trying to get a hold of Knight to go play golf because we're both members at the Bayou Club. And I'm like, bring along an 8-pack.
Oh, my gosh. You're talking about next Thursday?
Yeah.
I can't be here.
Oh, my God.
I'm on stage in Fort Myers at Snapper's Comedy Club.
Cool.
Good for you, brother.
Yeah. I'm opening for a really funny guy named Brian Scalero. You'll probably see it on social media tomorrow. Today's Thursday, so I was going to put it online today because it's a week away. But
you know who I missed?
14th. The 14th.
I want to get Danny Bibbins back into the mix.
Danny is brilliant.
Yeah. He's our handicapper, and once the golf season, starts again in January, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking a lot about the world of gambling. We're going to transition a lot of our shows. I just see that that's the direction things are going, so we're going to make sure that
I've got the app. Hard Rock Bet. I've got the app. Yep. That's pretty cool. It's great.
Well, and you can bet as little as $5, right?
Well, they give you $100 right out of the gate.
They want you using the app.
They want you to get in there.
That's the bottom line with this Hard Rock
Bet. Send me that app.
Okay. No, it's just Hard Rock Bet. You go to your app site on your web, and you download it. It's for free. It's free, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But it's a really cool, and they have these things called boosts.
Yeah.
And they'll send you a little text. Go, hey, we just boosted this bet. So you can really up your return if you get it right.
Or your loss.
Of course.
Yeah, trust me.
Yeah.
All right. On the T Florida's archived on our platform, RadioSt.Pete.com, on our Florida Sports Streams channel. And, of course, you can also find On the T Florida Golf and that John Rager Report. John does a great job each and every day with the John Rager Report on the T on our Facebook. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. You're listening right now. Our flagship up there in Clearwater. That's WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete. And then, of course, WDCF, AM 1350, 104.3 FM. And up there in Lake City, Gainesville, WGRO, AM 1250, and WDSR, AM 1340. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Adam Woodward. We've had him on several times, and he has got his finger on the pulse of what's going on with John Rahm right now. So let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk to Adam, and we'll find out what's going on in the world of LIV and, of course, John Rahm. That domino falls. There's gonna be a lot of not happy people that he basically said, I'm not going anywhere. So we'll be back on the T Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida on this December 7th, 2023. Just a spectacular day down here at St. Pete across from Tropicana Field. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. John Rager and Bill Butner have the night off for several reasons, but we're very fortunate, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, is this next conversation. Adam Warder, Golf Week Magazine, he's been on several times. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world of golf, and it's amazing how much is happening today. I thought we were just going to talk about these great holiday events that are taking place in Bradenton and Naples and relax a little bit and talk PNC, but things have heated up in the world of golf, and Adam's got his finger on the pulse. What's going on, my man?
Happy to be joining you on this incredibly busy day for golf. You know, I thought December was supposed to be the silly season, but it's been almost as busy as March or April for me. So it's been crazy, but yeah, happy to be on with you boys again.
Well, why don't you break down? You know what you've got your finger on the pulse. Of course, it's the rollback conversation. It's LIV, John Rahm. What do you put most of your focus on? Probably the John Rahm situation right now, but they're all intriguing and compelling.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it just, you know, I was talking to someone from the USGA earlier, and I kind of made the joke of, hey, remember when we made this groundbreaking announcement yesterday? That's been, you know, completely put in the rearview mirror less than 24 hours, you know, in the future. It's been crazy the last 2 days for what's come from the USGA. Obviously, way more focused on the Rahm, you know, news and reports now. Wouldn't be surprised if that becomes official here sometime this evening. It's just a whirlwind for, you know, what this could mean. And a bunch of people are looking into it for, you know, what does this mean for the PGA Tour and the PIF deal? Probably not too much, if I'm being honest. You know, what does it mean for the PGA Tour going forward? Certainly means something. They just lost the world number three, or are probably going to lose the world number three. And, you know, the reigning Masters champion, that's going to be a big loss for them. What does it mean for Liv? They, for the second year in a row, you know, they've signed a top five player in the world after they brought Cam Smith on for the 2023 season. So, yeah, all in on the John Rahm news and reports right now and kind of trying to figure out, you know, what golf's going to look like here in the next year without, you know, one of the best players in the world competing week in and week out on the PGA Tour.
Adam, should this happen, do you think it really hits at his legacy? Because, you know, I watched the Golf Channel all day long today in preparation, and you know, they're talking about integrity, which you know, it's tough to point fingers. Let's just say that they're talking about the integrity, the commitments. They reran how adamant and passionate he was about his stance, and he won over a lot of people because of taking that stance and not going. You know, he had pressure from Sergio, I'm sure. He went to Arizona State. He's got Lefty, you know, in his ear who he adores. So a lot of people thought he might initially make that move, and it did not happen. And now he looks like, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire. You're not the passionate guy and committed that you said you were. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, it's a really good question because, like you said, you know, John has been, you know, one of the most outspoken people on the tour, and his press conferences have become must watch because of how insightful he is, how open he speaks, whether you might agree with him or not. John's always been very, very forward with his thoughts. And as a reporter, we appreciate that, right? It's, we love to get the real, you know, the real deal from guys. And he doesn't give you that kind of coach speaker. He doesn't couch what he's thinking about. You know, he's as real as it gets. And when he talks about his legacy, that's a huge thing for him. You know, he holds Seve Ballesteros, the legendary Spanish golfer, to such a high, you know, standard, and he means so much to him. And what Seve was able to do for the game of golf in Spain and in Europe was huge. And I think if John were to go, I think he's thinking that this is his own way to make his own legacy and to be on the, you know, maybe he wasn't one of the first few guys that went, but to go in the first three years, he's going to be on the early steps of LIV, assuming it stays around for a few more years. So I think he's making a really big gamble with his legacy. You know, if LIV flames out here in the next few years, what's that going to say about his legacy? Probably, you know, not a whole lot of great stuff going to come out after that, especially after he's already won two major championships already at, you know, just 29 years old. But like you said, legacy is a big deal for him, and I think this is a really big gamble for him. You know, Brooks, when he left in his very volatile press conference that he gave, where he had some issues with me as well, said, look, man, opinions change. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Rom were to say something similar, given what he's seen from Liv over the first 2 years.
Yeah, you know, when you take a look at this, Adam, I was one of the press conferences, and he kind of got blindsided when they rolled out that there were going to be 20 events that they wanted them to, you know, commit to with this new format last year. And that kind of caught him by surprise, and because he said, I want to play in Europe. And we know he's got, you know, a very young family now. I think a lot of it may have been his availability and his own freedom and flexibility to live a life at 29 years of age that's not committed to playing 20 times, you know, on the PGA Tour. And that changed. You know, you had several people that didn't participate in events. But you think that had a factor?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think more so the Ryder Cup. It was probably the biggest hurdle for him to get over. You know, the moral high ground card was lost when the PGA Tour, you know, in the middle of the night did that kind of backdoor deal with the PIF, and none of the players knew about it. You know, the morality clause has all been lost, right? You can't really stand on that foot anymore. And you know, the reason that sports watching happens is because it works. You know, look at the LIV press conferences over the last few, you know, over the last year compared to 2022. You know, very few questions about Saudi or the money or all that. It's become so normalized, and that's why people sports watch, because it works. And it's, you know, it's obviously that was something he had to deal with, but, you know, he's a professional athlete. He's dealt with blowback before. You know, these guys are kind of used to it, second nature at this point. But I think the Ryder Cup by far was the biggest hurdle that he had to jump over. I'd be shocked if he had any sort of conversation with Captain Luke Donald, who's going to be signed on for 2025, as we saw couple weeks ago. I'd be shocked if he had any sort of conversations with him about the future of it or all, but you know, I gotta imagine, you know, Luke's gotta be wondering what his team's gonna look like. I would assume John Rahm still has to be a player that's picked. I mean, if Brooks Koepka is gonna make it for the U.S., John Rahm has to make it for Europe. I just don't see a European team, you know, without him rocking the blue and yellow. But I said, the Ryder Cup was probably the biggest thing that weighed on him as much as the schedule, because if you think about it, you have 14 live events on top of the four majors that he's going to be in all of them due to his U.S. Open and Masters champion status already. You know, that's 18 events. That's pretty close to what he would play on the PGA Tour. But, you know, I think the writing's been on the wall here. He's not in the field to defend as the Amex champion next month. He pulled out of the TGL before they had to pull out, you know, themselves and postpone to 2025. I think the schedule played a little bit into it, but you know, his status for the Ryder Cup was probably the biggest thing that weighed on him.
You're listening on the Tee, Florida, of course, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. Conversation with Adam Woodward of Golf Week Magazine, and we're talking about the hot topic today is John Rahm, and looks like it definitely will happen as his defection, if you will, to LIV, something that he was adamant about his stance and wasn't going that direction last year. Do you think the timing of this, Adam, was logistically to come in play with the end of the year, having to get this deal done?
Did the deal with him to live, are you talking about the framework agreement deal as well with the public investment fund?
Public investment fund.
Uh, I don't think so. I really don't. I think that, you know, that deal was either going to get done or not, whether John went or not. I think it definitely gives Liv and the PIP a bigger bargaining chip for the role that they may play in professional golf if the deal does go through, or if the PIP is involved in any of the investment. You know, I know we've reported on it about, you know, the five other, you know, investors that are interested in potentially being involved with PGA Tour as well on top of the PIP. I don't think it had anything to do with it. You know, Rahm has, you know, he was a part of the Player Advisory Council. He was a part of the inner workings of the tour for a few years back in, I think it was 2017 or 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that part of it. But he's enjoyed being involved in some of those conversations, but I just don't see him as someone who's going to be in those kind of meetings and pushing for it. You know, I would assume that he was kind of taking more of a backseat role and trying to figure out, you know, what his move to Liv would look like, what kind of equity he would get. Does he get his own team, or does he take over a team like the Cliques, who are in need of a refreshment, given they only have two players and one of them is Martin Keimer, who probably should have been relegated unless he was the captain, so he wasn't. So I don't think it had anything to do with the public investment fund, you know, framework agreement with the core. I think it was just a matter of, you know, he's seen the way this has grown. We've seen the reports of upwards of, I think, $600 million, the Telegraph reported. And I think when you pony up that kind of money, you know, you really make a guy think. And, you know, I know for sure that number was more than what he was offered the first time around. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out with, you know, with his status and his contract and his team. But, yeah, to wrap up that rambling, I don't think it had anything to do with the framework agreement.
I mean, all politics aside, Adam, when you talk about $450 to $600 million, when you talk about those kinds of numbers, we're talking about the ability to build a hospital or a college or buy an island or I mean, that's close to $1 billion for showing up. Is that where all of this is headed, Adam? I mean, will the PGA Tour exist in, say, 5 years?
I think so. I don't think, I mean, if for the PGA Tour to not exist in 5 years, they would have to start pulling everybody, right? You still have Justin Thomas, you still have Jordan Spieth, you still have Tiger Woods. You know, if you, as long as you get that last guy, you know, the 15-time major champion, I don't think the tour is going just about anywhere. But it would need to be either the deal would have to fall, something catastrophic would have to happen for the tour to pack up shop in that amount of time. 10 years down the road, if Liv keeps poaching people, maybe. I mean, we heard, I can't remember if it was Ed Hurley or Jimmy Dunn that said it in the Senate hearing a few months ago, but basically said, look, if Liv takes five PGA Tour players for the next 5 years, we're done. I mean, they would have to take five. Now, they haven't taken anybody, you know, as big as Rahm before. I mean, Cam Smith, you could argue, over the last 2 years, but the other guys that they brought last year, I mean, you know, nothing against Cameron Tringale, Brendan Steele, any guys like that, but those guys just don't move the needle. I mean, Thomas Peters was a top 50 player in the world and signed last year, and, you know, only Thomas Peters' family was watching him play Liv, and maybe some, you know, Illinois fans, but I don't think the tour is going to move away that quickly, but if they keep losing players, you know, my answer definitely could change on that, but for now, I think this is more, it's more a win for Liv than it is a loss for the PGA Tour, I think.
And you know, some of the names that you've brought up, and I watched them, and you've been to several events. You were at the season ending down in Miami. Do you see the same focus and commitment from these guys that you did when you're on the PGA that you would have before? I mean, this is guaranteed money. There's no motivation from a financial perspective. Well, it's chump change, essentially, for, you know, each one of the tournaments and for the teams. It just blows me away.
Yeah, and part of me wants to say no, looking at how some of the guys have fared in the majors, and then part of me says yes. I think it depends on the player, truly. I mean, you see a guy like Brooks, you know, who played really well in the majors. Phil turned it on in the majors, even though he was having a really rough go, you know, for Liv. I think maybe they're not bringing their A game week in and week out, and they're probably not grinding as hard as they want to think that they are. But they still take it serious, right? You know, whenever they see that money that's out there, you know, and talking to a guy like Harold Varner III, who's been very open about, look, I play golf for a job. I mean, golf is my job. It's my job is to make money for my family. Some of these guys are still very, very motivated by money. So even though they might have gotten a fat bag in the off season, you know, they still want to keep adding to that. You know, when you see a chance to win $4 million, you're gonna go for it. You know, you're gonna play for it. And some of the guys might be a little bit happier, but I think for a lot of the young guys that are still, you know, super, you know, competitive and driven in that way, I think they still take it a bit more serious. But you know, you could look at, you know, the retirement tour team of, you know, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson. Those guys definitely aren't bringing it the way that they used to. But I mean, why should they? You know, they're in their 40s, pushing 50s, and you know, they got a big bag, and they can kind of just cool in the off season and do their thing now. So I think it depends on the player, but more so than not, I think guys are still pretty motivated to play well. But a lot of that's the money, and not necessarily just winning a tournament, if that makes sense.
We've only got a few minutes left before the top of the hour, and you need to get back to work. Real quick on the rollback situation, perspective, and what are the players saying?
Players have been pretty split. You know, I think it was interesting hearing Ricky Fowler say yesterday that, you know, rollback might not be the proper word, but maybe a cap on distance is the right thing. You know, I know some of the guys have been outspoken saying it's the dumbest thing ever. How could they do this? The golf ball isn't the problem. But, you know, the women's players who are from on the LPGA, girl, you know, like people like Lilia Vu and who else? Megan Kang spoke yesterday saying they were kind of shocked that it's touching the women's game because they don't quite see a distance problem there. So for the players, it's split, but I think the overall reaction has been just so overblown. Like, people are starting to freak out as if this is going into play tomorrow. For amateurs, it's not going to be in play until 2030, and the pros until 2028. There is still so much time.
I'll be lucky to be on the planet then.
Yeah, right, yeah. Likewise. your word's not mine. But it's just so crazy that people are getting this worked up about something that honestly isn't even going to impact them. Like, most amateur golfers wouldn't even know a difference, right? If they lose 5 yards on a drive, that's within, you know, the margin of error for if they really juice one or if they don't, and if they catch one a little fat. You know, I just don't understand the huge blowback to this. And, you know, the fallacy that us amateurs play the same clubs as the pros is just, it's just so rampant and false, and it's just not true. Like, we can buy similar clubs, but you can't get everything, right? There are balls on that players play on the PGA Tour that you and I don't have access to.
Yeah,
as simple as that.
And didn't Rory actually say that in writing? He said, you think you're playing the same stuff that we are, you're sadly mistaken. And that's fascinating that they get to play prototype balls and they get to use advanced technology, probably nanotechnology in the shafts. It is a completely different game because there's so much money involved.
These guys.
Exactly. But that's the thing, is there is so much money involved in that. You know, the OEMs are going to be a little hurt by this. And a lot of them, you know, came out and had some pretty strong comments to say yesterday, you know, especially, you know, the likes of, you know, TaylorMade and Acushnet and Titleist, who put out their statement today. But, you know, the people who work for the management companies or the equipment management companies, they're innovators, right? They're science, you know, they're scientists. They are smart people who are going to find a way to keep progressing the golf ball, right? So they're just going to take these new restrictions and they're going to find a way to make a golf ball that works just as well as the ones that we have under the condition.
They rolled back the drivers years ago, and they haven't stopped any innovation whatsoever on making better and better drivers for the average golfer to play. And like you said, the average amateur is going to hit the ball 5 yards shorter, 3 yards shorter. It's nothing. They're not going to feel any difference at all.
Yeah, me watching the PGA Tour, I'm not going to be ticked off that Rory McIlroy's hitting the ball 310 instead of 320, right? Like, that's not going to make a difference. What it's going to make me happier to see is that Rory's going to have to hit more 4 irons, 5 irons, 6 irons, and less wedges, right? I think that's going to be way more fun, and that's a part of this that's getting absolutely lost, is what we're going to see in the professional game is we're going to see these guys have to play a little bit more creative, and it's going to be less of a driver wedge bomb and gouge. Now, if that's what you want to see from the PGA Tour, hey, that's your Bobby Brown, that's your prerogative, right? You can watch that, but that's not what I want to see from professional golf.
Nice job on the Bobby Brown. All right, my man, Adam, I appreciate you taking time on a very busy day. If we don't talk to you, happy holidays, my man. I appreciate the relationship and look forward to 2024 working with you. You're a consummate pro.
I'm telling you, I'll be down there in 2024 to have a couple beers and talk some crap with you guys. I can't wait.
I can't wait for you to walk into the 19th hole clubhouse. All right, my man. Have a great holiday. Adam Ordered, of course, he's a man with a plan. We'll be back. Hour number two, we're going to talk to Pat Shriver, a little local golf, and then, of course, we'll talk to Michael Furz. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.